definitely turn our attention to the Word of God. And so I want to invite Elise up, if you want to go ahead and come up and get ready to read for us. And church, if you'd stand out of respect for God's Word, Elise is going to be reading for us Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17 this morning. Elise?
Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading is Romans 8, 12 through 17. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you, Elise. I know you made your mama proud right now. So pray with me. Yeah, you give her a hand. Pray with me as we jump into this text. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I just want to start off by thanking you for mothers. We know how much effort they put into raising kids. We know how much all of us have relied upon our moms in our lives. And so, Lord, we're so grateful for those that are spiritual mentors and leaders in our lives that do so much work both in and outside the home. But Father, we also want to recognize that today's not a great day for everybody, that there's some here this morning that they're experiencing their first year without their mom. Some have lost a child this year. Some are struggling with wanting children but not being able to see that bear fruit in their lives at this point. And so we know that in each person in this room, we come to this day differently. And so we cry out to your Spirit, Father, for those who are celebrating, that you would be right there, giving them the joy of their salvation, revitalizing them, encouraging their hearts. Father, for those that are weeping, would you be present and be comfort and give peace? For those that are struggling, Father, be present with them as well. Lord, you minister to each and every mama's heart that's in this room. We're so grateful for them. Father, now as we turn our attention, we know that your word is profitable, not just for moms on this day, but for every single one of us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would help our hearts be submitted to you. Father, we pray that I would be faithful to your word, not my own. And Lord, that you would lead us to truth by your Spirit. And we just ask and pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to start off by just saying, definitely recognize this morning that there's a little bit more wiggliness in the room, that we got some kids. Listen, moms, it's okay. It's fine. We understand it. They're kids. We're glad you're all here this morning. And so want to acknowledge that. But when I started to think about Mother's Day, I definitely wanted to break away from our sermon series on faithfulness on this day, but I was praying about what it was that I wanted to share, what I felt like the Lord was leading me to share, and I was just spending a lot of time thinking about moms and their roles and all that they do in our lives and how they play in our lives so much, and I started to kind of think about the experience of most moms, realizing that like life for moms, like it's full of all kinds of ups and downs, all kinds of sorrows, all kinds of joys. Moms oftentimes get to be the ones that see the first steps of a baby, but oftentimes moms are the ones that also have to stay up all night when those same babies are sick, right? So they work in jobs, they work in the home, they help kids with their homework. Like, fact of the matter is, a mom's life is a little bit like a roller coaster. And with that, I came to this text and I realized as I was reading this text that something that might be most encouraging to moms, I honestly, frankly believe should be encouragement to every single one of us, something we all need every single day, because isn't it true? All of our lives is a roller coaster. Like, we all have those ups and downs. We all have those moments, whether you're a mom or a dad or a single or a young person. Like, we all live lives with so many moments that come up and down and joys and sorrows, and it just comes so fast. And there is so much in Romans chapter 8. But I want to focus on how Paul reminds us of our adoption. And maybe that's because it's on the forefront of my life right now as we're getting ready to go adopt. Maybe that's how the Lord was speaking. I mean, it certainly is an absolutely important part of my life and so many other lives here at Central. But as I think about adoption and why I want to focus on this is because I believe there is so much richness and hope and encouragement in understanding our adoption in Jesus Christ into the family of God. It's interesting that Paul even uses this term in Romans, because it's not a term that was typically used in the Jewish mindset of the day. He's pulling this from the Greek and the Roman understanding of adoption. One commentator said this, and I think this is such a neat way to see it. He says it is a useful word for Paul, for it signifies being granted the full rights and privileges of sonship in a family to which one does not belong by nature. This is such a good illustration of one aspect of Paul's understanding of what it means to become a Christian. The believer is admitted to the heavenly family, to which he has no rights of his own, but he is now admitted and called God, and calls God Father. Just think of what this means. The full rights and privileges of sonship in a family to which one does not belong by nature. The believer is admitted to the heavenly family. He has no rights of his own, but he is now admitted and can call God Father. Man, this is a profound truth for us. And as an adoptive father, I have grown more and more and more to appreciate the beauty of these truths. And to be honest, I feel like I have still barely grasped the depths of what it means to be adopted into the family of God. And what I want to do is focus on some of these treasures, because I think these treasures are important for every single one of us. Because my prayer is, and I hope, that we've all experienced the adoption into God's family. And if you haven't, that even hearing this morning would encourage you to take that step of faith. But let's look at this idea of adoption. In Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 14, look what Paul says. He says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. If you live according to the flesh, you will die." Now that might not sound at first glance like that's a treasure, right? That's a super encouraging thing for us to be talking about today. But here's the reality of it. I believe that this is an encouragement, because one truth sticks out that this verse is pointing to, that every single believer in this room or listening to my voice recognizes that there are two conflicting things that abide in each and every one of God's children. There's the flesh, which we have by our nature. It's what we're born with. It's the sin and our bends and our iniquities and our transgressions and the wickedness that we have inside of us that all of us carry in our lives. But then for those of us who have put our faith in Jesus, we also have the very Spirit of God, which dwells within us and lives in us. Only those who belong to his family have the Spirit of God. But we have both the flesh and the Spirit, meaning this, and this is why this is an encouragement. The struggle is real, right? Like, the struggle is real. That statement should be an encouragement to every single one of us, because we all feel that tension between the Spirit and the flesh every single day of our lives, don't we? We know that when we read this text and it talks about dying for those who live in the flesh, it's not talking about one failure. You sin one time, that's going to lead to your demise, thankfully, right? Because none of us are perfect. Amen? Like, do we agree with that? Let me ask the question. How many of you have walked in the flesh sometime this week? Raise your hand. All right, just keep your hand and lift it up. Look around the room. You're not alone. All right? For those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just walked in the flesh by keeping it down. So, right? Like, this is the reality for every single. This struggle is absolutely real. And even though we know we're never going to be perfect in this life, man, we strive for it, shouldn't we? And the point is, here in this text, isn't if you sin one time that you're going to be led to death, but it's the warning that if you live according to it, like you give yourself over to the flesh, that is going to ultimately lead to your death. And so we strive and we fight, and we daily want to grow and submit ourselves to the Lord. And here's the thing, something that you learn when you adopt is that the genetics of the birth family, the hurts and the wounds and loss and fear and abandonment and so much more, they come in to your family. So as Karen and I get ready to go to Thailand, and we're about to adopt a soon-to-be 6-year-old boy who's lived in an institution his entire life, like, as we adopt Andrew into our home, here's what you know and you understand. He's not going to look like a McClintock. Like, initially speaking, he's not going to look anything like a McClintock. Like, he's carrying genetics from some other people, and so he's going to do things that make no sense to me. Like, he's going to have things in his life that I don't understand. But kid doesn't even speak our language yet. Not just the language of our home, but the language of my country. He doesn't have our rhythms. He doesn't have our mannerisms. He doesn't laugh at the jokes that we're going to tell in our family. Like, he's not going to look anything like a McClintock. And he's going to bring all kinds of junk with him as a kid who's lived in an institution for 6 years of his life. But here's the thing, even though he may not look like a McClintock right off the bat, he'll be a McClintock, right? Like, he's going to be a McClintock. And what we find in this process of adoption is that as time goes on, he's going to look more and more and more like a McClintock. The old things, the old life, the old self will slowly disappear, but it won't be gone forever. Like, it won't completely go away. There will always be those moments that it rises up. As believers, though we have been adopted, we too still carry things from our old family. We still carry things from our old self because we were the fatherless spiritually. Let me give you an illustration. Moms, I think you'll understand this. Have you ever had one of those days where you spend the entire day and you're exhausted and you've been fighting with kids, you've helped them with homework, you've made meals, you've been to work, whatever the day looks like, and at the end of the day, you finally wrap it all up, you get your child in bed, and you sit down on the couch and you're like, ah. Right? And I don't know what y'all do. You do different things. Some of you pick up the Bible and read. Some of you pray. Some of you pick up your phones. Whatever it is, some of you eat a bowl of ice cream. You eat a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which is what I would like to do to rest. Like you do something, and you're just sitting there, and then suddenly you hear from the room, Mom, I'm thirsty. And you grit your teeth. I think some kid thought that was really funny. You grit your teeth and you get up off the couch and you go take your kid the drink and you kiss him goodnight one more time, and then you turn around and walk out of the room, and then within a couple minutes you hear, uh-oh, I spilled my water in my little container of Berenstain Bear books that has like 150 books in it. And you snap, right? Like, you lose it. And as you're picking up the Berenstain Bear books and you're drying them off and you're setting them up, like, you realize that all the patience that you thought that you were doing so well in all day just went out the window in one moment, right? And now you feel the weight of that failure and you're like, man, I'm such a terrible person. I'm such a bad person. And just in case you thought that was way too specific, that literally happened to me like a week ago, right? The struggle's real, isn't it? Like, no matter how much God is forming you and making you into who he wants you to be, like, there's those moments where the old self just comes out. And suddenly you're like, oh, man, like, I did it again. Like, I failed. I messed up. And here's the beauty of this, though. And here's the beauty of your adoption. And here's the beauty of my adoption. And every single one of us in this room, even in the midst of those moments, your status as a child of God is never threatened. Did you hear that? Like, even in that moment when you lose it and you snap and the old you comes out, like, your status as a child of God is not threatened. You're still his son. You're still his daughter. Like, no matter what happens, no matter how many times the old stuff comes out, I think about my own little girl. No matter how much her old self comes out, she is always going to be my baby girl. She's always going to be my baby girl. Nothing can ever change that, period. And brothers and sisters, this is how God is with every one of us. I mean, we need to be reminded of it because the struggle is real. But Paul tells us just a few verses later, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen? Man, we need this. When you struggle, the treasure is right here. And be reminded of your adoption. Nothing can take you out of the family of God, ever. Secondly, there is no power that is ever going to be over us. Consider all the powerlessness of an orphan. No protection, no provision. Anyone who's stronger can take advantage over you. Like, you have no one over you to guard you and protect you. Man, in our world, this danger is real. For orphans, this works itself out in all kinds of wounds and injury, human trafficking, malnourishment, abuse, all kinds of different things. And it's something that we all experience before God. Before we've been adopted into the family of God, who was there to protect us? Who was there to provide for us? Who was there to guide us, to direct us, to teach us, to lead us? Like, we were on our own in this world. And it's a world full of pitfalls, isn't it? And if you've ever tried to, like, lead and follow your own leading in your own heart, you know that always leads to some bad spaces in your life. Right? And so we experience all this fear and this struggle and feel like, man, we've got to grasp for control. We've got to cling to control because we're so afraid because we never know what's going to happen. Many feel entrapped by their own decisions, enslaved to narratives that come into their mind. Like, I'm a failure. I'm unlovable. I'm never going to be good enough. Nobody around me is ever going to be trustworthy. I'm the only one that I can trust. And this is the spirit that Paul is talking about in verse 18. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." In our adoption, we are not given a spirit of slavery and fear. That's what we had before. We had a spirit of fear before him. But God is now giving us a spirit of belonging to be able to cry out, Abba, Abba, Father. And I know some have said, man, this just means like this super familiar, like daddy. I don't think that's exactly what it is, but what we definitely know Paul is trying to get at with this word is this mindset in trying to communicate intimacy and closeness and care and protection and provision. Like, spiritually speaking, before we are adopted into the family of God, we don't have that from him. But we do the moment that he adopts us into his family through the work of Jesus Christ. But here's the thing, walking in this, it's not easy. It's not easy. We can see this illustrated. Any of you who have stepped into foster care or adoption of kids, you know, like, they deeply fear and they deeply struggle with anxiety because for so many of these kids, like, the only person that they've been able to trust in is themselves. And so it works itself out in all kinds of different ways. Some of them have tremendous food anxieties, for example, like where they're terrified they're never going to have enough food because they probably didn't get it for so long. And so they lay in bed at night and they want to cling to a box of cereal or cling to a piece of fruit. And no matter how many times you tell them our refrigerator will never be empty, they still struggle to trust. They still struggle when they're hungry to just cry out to mommy and daddy because that's not the experience they've had in their lives. Aren't we the same way sometimes? Like, our God says, I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to provide for you. And cast all your anxieties upon me. And we still cling to other stuff. We still cling to our own ability to control the world and to protect ourselves. When we want rest, we cling to things that we think are going to give us rest. When we want hope or help, we cling to things that we think are going to help us. We cling to our addictions. We cling to all of these different things. And all the while, God is saying, would you let it go? And would you cry out to me? When you need rest, would you cry, Abba? When you need peace, would you cry, Abba? When you're afraid, would you cry, Abba? When you feel like there's no provision to be had, would you cry, Abba? When your plans completely get wrecked, will you cry, Abba? When you need deliverance from your sins and your addictions, will you cry out, Abba, Father? Like, this is the relationship that has been bought for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. As we are adopted into the family of God, like, we cry out, Abba, Father. Adoptive parents, they long to see their kids free from fear and distrust and the desire to have to control everything. We want to see them to be free to trust their parents, to be free to trust their love. You know what? So does our Heavenly Father. He wants to see every single one of us free to believe that when God says, I am for you, not against you, that you actually believe it to be true, no matter what your circumstance, that He will always be there, that we can always cry out, Abba, Father. Next, we need peace of assurance. Assurance in our lives. One of the greatest fears for those that are being brought into a new family is that of abandonment. Because their story says this: everyone leaves me. I'm gonna mess it up sooner or later. I know you tell me you're gonna be faithful, but you won't. Because my experience tells me people aren't faithful. People are gonna betray me, people are gonna hurt me, people are gonna leave me. And I'm just waiting for the day that I screw up one time that's bad enough that you'll sever the rights and you'll tear up my certificate of adoption. Now, this is real, and it is deep. And even those who have never been abandoned, who have never been in a place where they needed to be adopted physically, like, we can all struggle with this family or with this feeling that even the most trusted of people will sooner or later bail on us. And so we build walls to protect ourselves. Because our experience is that people aren't faithful, because people aren't faithful. But God is faithful. God is faithful. And many of us walk in this way with the Lord. I constantly feel like I sinned again. I promised I wouldn't sin, and here I am again. God, when I started this year, I was gonna jump right back into this Bible reading plan, and I only made it 2 months, and I screwed that up, and I can't even do that right. And man, I really wanted to be church on time, but I was late again. Like, I didn't read my Bible enough. I didn't pray enough. And we get this view of God with His arms crossed, shaking His head all the time at us, just waiting for us to mess up. And we're always afraid that that one sin we do is gonna separate us from God. I mean, we need to be walking in the assurance that that is never going to happen. Surely God would never leave His people, never leave His kids. Even as you look at all the other kids in His family and you try to judge yourself in comparison to them, He doesn't. He sees you alone. I think you get the point of this. God wants us to walk in assurance, to know that Jesus will not lose any that have come to Him. Every one of those things that you struggle with, every one of those failures, every one of those sins, He knew it already. He knew it the first day that you put your faith in Him. None of them surprise Him, and He's walked with you all the way to this day. And He's not going to leave you. He assures us of this. He assures us of it by giving us His Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, which you read, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is our assurance. You say, how? How is this the assurance in my heart? Well, here's how. It's by the fruit that He's bearing in you. Like, that's part of the assurance that He gives to us. Not perfectly. None of us bear the fruit of the Spirit perfectly. Every moment in every way. But do you see it in your life? Are you growing in love? Are you growing in patience? Are you growing in kindness? Are you growing in joy? Are you growing in your love of the law of God? Like, do you see that God's ways are good and they're right? And you're day after day wanting to become more and more like Jesus. Like, He knows you're not exactly like Him yet. That's the Spirit of God in you, because nobody apart from the Spirit of God loves God's ways. And He wants you to be assured of that. And He's bearing witness to you that your belonging is sure. It's there and evidenced in the fruit of your life. if there is no fruit of the Spirit, if there is no law, love of the law of God, if there is no love of the Word of God, no love of the people of God, if there is no patience and kindness and joy, no joy of your salvation, then you need to ask the Lord to test you and try you, to see if you have really truly put your faith in Him. But if you see those things, then be assured God is working, and continue to strive, continue to rest in the Lord. This is why it is important for us to have people around us that can speak into our lives, because oftentimes it's your spouses, it's your kids, it's your coworkers that can see the growth that God is doing in you, the fruit that is being born in your life over time, and you need them to point to it. See, as an adopted son or daughter, He died for you when you weren't bearing any fruit, when you had no ability to look like Him at all, when you didn't even know what that looked like, when you actually hated Him, when you were pushing Him away. He died for you. How much more now that His Spirit is changing all of that and adopting you and assuring you and making you and conforming you into the likeness of Jesus Christ, how much more can you be assured of His love for you? I want to invite up a member of our body to help illustrate some of this with their own testimony. Anna, would you go ahead and come on up? Anna is, like I said, she's a member of our church here, and let me grab a mic for Anna. Here, Anna. And I'll grab one of these stools as well. Here, why don't you have a seat there? So Anna is one that was adopted. Would it be easier to stand or you get up there? Okay, great. So Anna was adopted, and I had asked her to come up and share some of her story just because I think that a personal testimony of what God has done can be such a benefit for us to understand how this plays itself out in our lives as Christians, because I think there's such a beautiful gospel mirror when it comes to adoption. And so, Anna, let me just start by asking the question, like, how has the gospel, and we talked about these, but how has the gospel become more real to you because of being adopted?
Yes. So before I get that, I'm just going to share a little bit of my adoption story. Yep. So you know where I'm coming from. So I was born in Guatemala, and I have one younger biological sister. Came into orphan care when we were discovered in a park alone. After an investigation took place, it was declared that my great-grandmother and birth mother were unfit to take care of us. We came into an orphanage called Eagle's Nest, just still actually there today as a children's home and a private Christian school. I was around 3 years old and my sister was one. We met my parents when they went on a missions trip to that orphanage, and they decided after that they wanted to adopt us. The adoption took a while, and by the time I came to Kansas here, I was around 5 and my sister was 3. I grew up in a Christian home in a large family of 8 total, and I'm here today with my husband involved in foster care, just trying to be faithful in what God has laid on my heart for a long time now, caring and loving for children from hard places.
Great. Amen. So, as I said before, out of that, how has the gospel become more real because of your adoption, because of that story that you walk through and that He's given to you?
Yeah. 3 components particularly resonate with me when I think about the gospel. 1, Christ loved me first. My imperfections and faults didn't scare Him away, but He embraced me just as I am, in the same way I was loved by my adoptive parents first. They did discover along the way, though, that it was going to be a hard journey to go on because of my brokenness. God already saw my brokenness, though, ahead of time and still showed love towards me. As Jason Johnson states in his book, Reframing Foster Care, He wrapped Himself up in our brokenness, carried our brokenness to the cross, and was broken by our brokenness so that we don't have to be broken anymore. Sometimes my issues were too much for my parents to take, that it felt like their love and my relationship with them was being drawn away. But God didn't turn away from me because of my brokenness, but He stepped into it and offered to bear it all. Being reminded of this, I feel such a deep sense of comfort and confidence knowing that God won't abandon his love for me. The second aspect of the gospel I want to focus on is cost. After I came to live with my adoptive family, I did experience many losses. I lost my culture, heritage, family history, native language, and for a while, my identity. I was helpless in this and had no control. However, Jesus gave up even more for the sake of salvation. He willingly gave up comfort, status, his home, vulnerability, and ultimately his life. He came to earth knowing he was going to experience physical pain and emotional pain. He felt rejection, abandonment, loneliness, betrayal, and unbelief from the very ones who claimed to have loved him. Having felt some of these emotions because of my own losses, these are some of the hardest and most painful things to heal from. Christ's sacrifice is truly selfless, costly, and even potentially painful when you consider that he knew the gospel was still not going to be completely accepted by all. I can now look back to what I have lost before my adoption, though, and can say that it was worth it because of where I am today. Mm. Which leads to my final element of the gospel, Christ's unconditional love. My adoptive parents demonstrated a small glimpse of this when they made their choice to adopt. They knew I was not and wouldn't be perfect, but they still chose to care and love me when I came to them. However, there was a lot of pain in how this was consistently showed to me and how I received it. There were times and words of misunderstandings or frustrations, anger, and hopelessness that came out of hurt feelings, unmet expectations, and misunderstandings. My reaction was to shut down as a way to protect myself from more pain and from fear of saying the wrong thing. It was in these moments that I really questioned if they truly did love me and if they regretted their choice to adopt me. It was in these times also that I felt their love was very conditional. However, as believers, we can trust that God gives us access to all of him and pours out unconditional love on us every time. He doesn't hesitate, he won't back out, and he never stops loving us. This has been a huge source of encouragement and comfort for me. I know that even in my weakest moments, when I mess up, feel undeserving, or everything is falling apart, his love remains steadfast and is always there waiting for me, without measure, never changing, never held back, and available 24/7. A completely perfect, unconditional love that I never have to keep earning, but is poured out consistently because of who he is.
Okay. Well, one last thing. Yeah, thank you very much. I know you mentioned in there just how your adoptive parents have reflected some of the Lord in that, but also just as someone who's been adopted, like how have some of your struggles, how do those reflect the struggles that we have as we enter into God's family? How's that kind of been something that you've seen?
I would say that some of the biggest struggles I sometimes still experience from being adopted is wrestling with feelings of self-doubt. Am I deserving enough, and do I truly belong? For me, being adopted created a low self-esteem and a lack of confidence in myself. I contemplated many what-ifs and desired so many if-onlys, thinking that if these things could just happen, then I could become the perfect daughter that anyone would want. I let my insecurities get in the way of thinking I could fully be loved for who I was because I just wasn't good enough yet. When we enter into God's family as a new member, he accepts us just as we are. Our insecurities in ourselves and our talents should not be a reason from us holding back ourselves and being able to fully entrust our care to him. Instead, we should be able to give ourselves up despite our weaknesses so that his power and strength can be even more evident in showing how much we truly need and rely on him. The second struggle, and the hardest for me, is feeling that I'm just not good enough and I will never measure up. Hurtful words were spoken by my parents trying to understand why I wasn't measuring up, meeting their expectations, or questioning why I wasn't close to them like my other siblings. This went on for a very long time, and I eventually gave in and accepted that I just wasn't good enough for them. This hurt deeply, and it's still something I'm working through and healing from. But I can look back, and I don't have any regret or anger towards them, because I can see that they did the best that they could with the resources and the connections that were available to them or not available to them at that time. After all, we are all humans, imperfect, even in parenthood.
Yep.
And God doesn't expect us to be perfect when we enter into his family. because he himself is the only one who can ever reach that standard. We are simply called to walk in obedience and faithfulness as a demonstration of our love to him and bringing glory to his name throughout our life, accepting and embracing that he is our strength and the only one who sustains us in all things, even when we feel like we aren't measuring up. And lastly, another struggle I've experienced as an adopted child is feeling like I just don't fit in. Being adopted internationally provided me with some obvious reminders of this. I do not resemble them in any physical way. I wasn't handed down any of their genes, and I have very different interests than them. These and other things served as a constant reminder that I was different from them, and everyone could see that. There's no question about it. I had to battle it and not let that get in the way of knowing I was truly a member of my adoptive family. In the same way, our sin nature is a constant battle that we will always be fighting against. When we are overcome with guilt, fear, and shame because of our sin, this can create a barrier that prevents us from drawing near to our Father. Yet God's love is unconditional, and he offers us so much grace, even when we doubt that we can fit in. His arms are always open, desiring for us to return and be restored into a close relationship with him.
Thanks, Anna. Appreciate it. Can we give Anna a round of applause? I'll take that. I really wanted Anna to be able to share some of that testimony because so much of our lives as Christians is we know the right thing to say. And we know certain things about what has been spoken about us, but isn't it true that sometimes we just feel different? We know that God says that we're worth dying for. He did it, but yet we still can feel like we're not. We can still feel that stuff, and it doesn't matter how old we are or how long we've been walking with the Lord. Like, these temptations continue to resurface, and that's why he's given us this reminder of on these words like adoption, that we are part of the family of God. That there's never going to be a moment that he's going to try to stick your adoption certificate in front of your face and say, do better, be better, I wish you were different. He knew us at our worst. Like our worst. Like when we were the most hateful, the most spiteful, the most vengeful, and he still brought us into his family. That is secure. You're secure in him. And I want us to walk away recognizing that even as we walk through the struggle, because we know that struggle is, as we've said, it's real for all of us. Moms, it's real for you. Dads, it's real for you. God knows the struggle, and he's in the fight with you against your flesh, against your sin. Remember, there is no power of this world that you have to fear because you have an Abba Father always there ready to hear your cry. And that doesn't mean that he's always going to make everything perfect and never let hurt and harm come to your life, but it means he will always be present in your life no matter what. He's giving you the very Spirit of God to assure you and to bear witness to you that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Our God is a good God. He is a good Father. Better than any of our own fathers, better than any of our own mothers, he is the only example of what it truly is to be an adoptive family. And so we are so blessed, and I pray and I hope that as you walk out of this space this morning, that you feel the encouragement of your adoption. And if you're not, and if you don't have that security, and you don't have that belief and that faith that he has bought you and redeemed you and brought you into his family, man, today, don't let this day leave without putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and letting him bring you into the family of the Father. As we close our time, I want to do something because I recognize that adopting and foster care is such a beautiful gospel ministry that I wanted to just recognize some families. And so here's what I would ask. If you are a family in this room that has adopted a child, is praying about adopting a child, or has fostered a child, or is in the midst of walking through that process right now, like you're going through home studies and all that kind of stuff, I'd ask, would you be willing to come up to the front, just down here below? I want to pray for you. You just come down below on this section and just stand. Just know that if you have a foster kid that we are going to be live streaming this, so if that's not okay, just make sure you either stay with them or leave them there in your seats. But if you are a family who is adopted, would you just come up to the front? because we want to pray over you. Right now, we have a foster and adoption care ministry that on a regular basis has over 70 people a part of it. And there are so many of these stories around our church that is so much bigger than just Karen and I's story or any one story. And this is such an amazing gospel ministry to remind us of our own adoption. And so here's the thing. As we pray, I'm going to pray over these families, and then Ryan is going to lead us in one last song here in just a moment. And we're going to have prayer counselors up here at the front as well. If you want to talk to somebody about putting your faith in Jesus so that you can be a part of the family of God, I want to encourage you to take that step today as well. As you can see, we have a lot of people in our church that have stepped into this. This is absolutely amazing that we have so many families, so many people. This is truly the heart of God. And I know that it's taken a long time to get them out here because most of them are humble about what it is that God has called them to do. But we know that it's also beautiful gospel work, but it's also sometimes a hard work. And it's sometimes a challenging work and an exhausting work. Imagine how exhausting we are to the Heavenly Father. You ever think about that? Imagine how exhausting we are to Him. How many times, and yet He just loves the snot out of us, doesn't He? Like He died for us. And He's always there with us no matter how much we fail. So let me pray for us, and then we'll close with the word of song, let me pray. Father, I thank you for each of these families. Father, adoption is not something we created. It is something that you have given to us in your word. You have told us that we need to be redeemed. You've told us we need to be brought into the family of God. You've told us that we can become sons and daughters. Father, we know your heart for the fatherless, and it's partly because it so beautifully represents the gospel. And so, Lord, I pray for each of these families here that have stepped into this, that are praying about stepping into this. Father, strengthen them. They're not perfect. You are. We are not. We fail all the time, and so we need your Spirit to strengthen us. Father, I pray for each mom in this room, each dad in this room, even those that just have just biological kids. Lord, we need you. We need your Spirit bearing fruit in us that we might be like you, even in the midst of the failure of our kids. But Father, I pray for these families specifically. Bless them, strengthen them. Father, may your gospel be a testimony in their lives. May everyone see the gospel. May you draw people to yourself through their stories, through their testimonies. Father, for these kids, would you bless them? Father, would you help them to be conformed into your likeness? They would take on your image. They would bear the image of their heavenly Father who has truly adopted them, eternally adopted them. Father, strengthen these parents to teach these kids. Even as we just celebrated child dedication a few weeks ago, help them to teach them you and your ways in everything they do. Father, we thank you so much for the gospel of our adoption. May we rest in it. May we walk in it. I pray and ask these things.